So last night it was Messy Messiah, which I believe was amazing. And on Wednesday we went carol singing Brian Bixley Farm. So it must be nearly Christmas. You know, when we went around Bixley Farm, some of the houses, they had these amazing lights, didn't they? They were brilliant, weren't they? But I'm not sure what some of them had to do with the real meaning of Christmas. There was polar bears and all sorts. You know, a few years ago, J. John wrote a little booklet which he called What's the Point of Christmas? And in this booklet, he endeavours to show the real meaning of that first Christmas. And this afternoon, as we look at the reading from Matthew's Gospel, we'll explore what the true point and meaning of Christmas is. Now, I don't know if you've still got your Bibles opened, but if you want to look at the first part of Matthew chapter 1, and I'm sure Elizabeth was really pleased that she didn't have to wade through those long lists of names, the genealogy of Jesus. It's Jesus' ancestry traced through Joseph. And for us, that might seem a really strange way to start a book, perhaps even quite a dull way. But Matthew's account traces primarily the fulfillment of God's plan revealed in Scripture. It's about the fulfillment of Israel's story. Their true king, promised and foretold, had come, and it could be proved by his ancestry that he was who he said he was. What Matthew is saying to us by beginning in this way is that we will only understand Jesus properly if we see him in the light of this story, which he completes and brings to its climax. It places Jesus fully in line with the history of the Old Testament. Matthew's desire is to show us that this Christ is throughout it all. It's a history whose purpose has now been achieved. The preparation is complete. The Messiah has come. And Jesus is indeed the Messiah, the true King of Israel, in the line of David, as was foretold. The one who was promised from the beginning, the one that people eagerly awaited. The Apostle Paul in Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, writes this: But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem them that were under law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So what God is doing here is saying, the fullness of time has come. This is where I'm fulfilling my words. And you know, if you read this passage in Matthew and the next chapter, you might notice that Matthew doesn't tell us everything about the Christmas story. He tells us about the wise men, but he misses the bit about the angels appearing to the shepherds. And he misses out the bit where the angel Gabriel appears to Mary. And instead, he tells us the story from Joseph's angle. And from Joseph's point of view, that's not great. You're engaged, betrothed, your fiancé is pregnant, and you're not the father. How would you feel in that situation? You'd probably be angry, confused, you'd feel betrayed. Whatever you might be feeling is likely to be what Joseph was feeling. And that's where we find ourselves in verse 18. When his mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child. In Israel at that time, this was totally shocking. Mary is betrothed, engaged to Joseph, and yet the signs are very obvious that she's pregnant. in those days and in that culture, Joseph would have had the right to have her publicly disgraced, even stoned to death for being unfaithful. But instead, having thought it through, he comes to his decision, and we read that in verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now he's decided what he'll do. That'll be it. End of story. Except, as we know, it wasn't. Because as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear. Take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So what do we know about Joseph? Actually, we don't know a lot about Joseph. There are no actual words spoken by Joseph that are recorded in the Bible. But what we do know is that he was a carpenter, an ordinary bloke doing quite a skilled manual job. He was a kind man, as is shown by his dilemma when he discovered that Mary's pregnant. He really cared about Mary. And he was a family man, providing for Jesus and his other subsequent children. But he wasn't embarrassed about being religious. He talked to God, and God talked to him. Also, he was a man who took God at his word, and he obeyed him even in the most difficult of circumstances, because when he woke from the dream, he did what the angel commanded, and he took Mary home as his wife. That must have been a horrendous stigma in those days. And Joseph, he was chosen by God to be the earthly father of his son, to protect the baby and to nurture and protect the child. And you see, that shows us that God can use ordinary people in the most spectacular of ways if we're willing to trust him, to obey him, and to follow him. The angel tells Joseph that Mary hasn't been unfaithful, but that this pregnancy is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy that Deborah read to us earlier. A virgin shall be with child and give birth to a son. See, Mary's pregnancy was supernatural. It's miraculous. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. But you know, there's hardly a Christmas that goes by where somebody doesn't question the authenticity of the virgin birth. And sadly, some theologians and even leaders of churches try to explain it away. And in a few minutes' time, we're going to stand and we're going to sing, I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. So why is it important that we believe the virgin birth? This is what one theologian writes. If we do not hold to the virgin birth, despite the fact that the Bible asserts it, then we have compromised the authority of the Bible, and there is in principle no reason why we should hold to its other teachings. You see, rubbish the virgin birth, and you remove everything that's important about the good news of Jesus, the Word made flesh, who dwelt among us. You see, God in Christ has entered and shared at the deepest level what it means to be flesh and blood from cradle to grave and beyond. If you don't believe the Bible when it says that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, then surely we can make the Bible say anything we like. It becomes a bit of a pick and mix. Pick the bits you like, leave the other bits. So there's a sense in which this story our faithfulness to the Word of God. There's a story that one day C.S. Lewis was sitting in his office when a friend who wasn't a Christian wandered in. There were carolers singing outside, and they could hear them singing one that contained the words about Jesus' virgin birth. and his friend said to C.S. Lewis, "Isn't it good that we now know that virgins don't have babies?" C.S. Lewis looked incredulously at him and said, "Don't you think they knew that?" "That's the whole point. That's Matthew's point. This birth isn't human in origin, it's divine." The first part of Matthew chapter 1 tells us the genealogy and human origin of Jesus Christ, son of David. And the second half of Matthew tells of the divine origin of Jesus, the virgin birth. In those few fascinating words lies all the mystery, the marvelous, the miraculous, the incredible meaning of Christmas, that with God, nothing is impossible. You see, if you take away a God who intervenes in creation, then you're left with something other than Christianity. If you don't have a God who can create, if you don't have a God who can raise people from the dead, if you don't have a God that can make blind people see, if you don't have a God who can make deaf people hear, if you don't have a God who is miraculously conceived, then you don't have Christianity. And as the angel continues to speak to Joseph, we hear the two names for the baby that's growing in Mary's womb. The two names that the angel gives to Joseph tells us just who this special baby was and what he means and why he matters to us, not just at Christmas time, but all the time. The first name is found in verse 21. "She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The name Jesus simply means God saves. Jesus is the Savior because he saves people from their sins. You know, these days we don't really like to talk about sin or even to think about it because it sounds so old-fashioned and a bit out of touch. But you know, as we watch the news or we read the paper or we see life unfolding all around us, we see and we know the effects of sin. We see it in our own lives and we see it in the lives of others. But you know, in the beginning, God made a perfect world. And everything was good. But our first parents messed things up. They chose to go their own way, to do their own thing, in other words, to sin. And every one of us since have been caught up in that act of rebellion. It's not just that we're sinners because we sin. Rather, we sin because we are sinners. It's in our nature. It's the way we are. And Jesus came to save us from our sins. He came to bear them on the cross, to die the death that we deserve, to give us pardon and peace. With the death of Jesus, peace with God was made possible because Jesus is the Savior. His name tells us who we really are. If the very essence of his name means he is a Savior, then we can only conclude one thing about ourselves. We need to be saved. Someone wrote this: if our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was for forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. His name is Jesus. Then in verse 23, we hear the other name for Jesus. "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Our Old Testament reading from Isaiah and its promise of a virgin conceiving and bearing a son called Emmanuel finds its ultimate fulfillment in the events of that first Christmas. Why is Emmanuel another name for Jesus? Well, Matthew tells us it means God with us. A child in Sunday school once described Jesus as God with skin on. And it's quite a good description. God with us. God is here. God is with us. Always and forever, God is with us. You know, when Jesus came, he changed everything for Joseph and Mary. And down through the centuries, Jesus has been changing and transforming lives. And many of the people that are in church this afternoon have found that Jesus has changed their lives and he's given them a peace that passes all understanding, even in the most difficult of times. Has he changed everything for you? You see, Jesus is God's gift to you. He can and will save you from your sins by taking away your burdens and the weight of a guilty conscience and by giving you a fresh start as you trust in him. And as you do that, as you trust in him, as you lean on him, then you'll discover that he is Emmanuel, God with you, that he's always with you, that as he promised, he'll never leave you, never forsake you, even if everyone else deserts you, even when life is really, really tough, God is with you. You know, in a few minutes, we're going to sing our next song, which is a song about what, as Christians, we believe. If you want to speak to either myself or to Deborah about any part of what that song means, or if you want to find out anything more about this Jesus we've been talking about, he's God's gift to a fallen humanity, then please speak to us at the end of the service. I have this little booklet here. It's called Why Christmas? And it explains the real meaning of Christmas. It tells us more about this Jesus and what he can do for you. Just talk to one of us at the end of the service. We'd love to be able to explain to you a bit more about this Jesus.